Welcome to another Carl and Lades Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, what's your earliest memory as a youngster? How far back can you remember?
Well, I remember being pulled out from somewhere and this weird-looking man, like, smacking me on the backside, and then they wrapped me up in this cloth and took me away somewhere.
Okay, what
That's
about
you? That's my earliest memory.
That's very good. I can't quite remember that far back, but the reason I brought that up is
because you want to tell me your earliest memory. What is your earliest memory?
Well,
Rob,
the thing is, my grandmother used to tell me all the time that her husband, my grandfather, who died when I was 2.5, was a state champion chess player. And sort of when I got to around about 8 years old, 9 years old, whenever I visited Grandma up at Panola in the southeast, she taught me how to play chess and we played chess. So I played chess a lot when I was a kid. And then it sort of dropped off as it does. And then in the 1990s, there was a guy I met in hospital that lived near me, an old guy who was keen on chess, and I started playing him on a weekly basis. But basically, I haven't played chess for about 20 years until recently. This mate of mine said to me, "Oh, do you play chess?" And so I've started playing chess over the last month or two, and I've really enjoyed it. And it piqued my interest. I started doing a bit of research on my grandfather when he played chess.
So that's your earliest. What is your earliest memory? You didn't tell me your earliest memory.
Of my grandfather playing chess.
So you're saying that your grandfather died when you were 2.5.
Yes.
So you have this memory of your grandfather playing chess.
Yes, I have this memory of two older gentlemen playing chess on our porch. Yeah. We lived at Sefton Park when I was about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And the thing that always struck me is I remember the horse. And I remember these two people playing what turned out to be chess. And my grandmother sort of, because she told me that my grandfather was a chess champion, sort of it's become more vivid as I've got older and I've looked back and thought about it. There's other memories I have, but I can pinpoint that as being about 2 because I was 2.5 when he died.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember much at all. I can't remember much even from last week, but.
Yeah, but last week you could remember from 2 weeks previous. And no, but, you know, it's interesting. And recently there was that The Queen's Gambit.
I enjoyed that. Have you watched it?
Yeah. It was wonderful.
It was interesting, wasn't it? And I didn't think I would, but obviously there was a bit of stuff advertising. I thought, and my wife and I sat down to watch it and slowly got into it. I mean, it was an interesting story anyway, but it certainly gave me a different understanding of chess, probably at that really high level, because it obviously has an international following, doesn't it? And
yep.
At those really high levels, you know, there's all that strategy and teamwork, and that's what I really, obviously, the character in that miniseries was a flawed person, as most of us are. But it was, I enjoyed the story.
Well, you know, in that particular show where she looks at the ceiling and she starts seeing all the moves and things like that. Well, the one story my grandmother always told me was that my grandfather and his brother, who both played chess, used to walk down the street playing games in their heads.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
It is a different world, isn't it? But you think now, we think about all of the game opportunities or gamers or gaming that we might think our teenagers are involved in, and most of that now is obviously through screens. But that's still that sense of strategy and working out how you can beat something. And so our kids are still heavily involved in that concept of gaming. Maybe chess is not the game that people go to now, but I was doing a little bit of research because obviously we knew we were going to talk about this. And in New South Wales, for example, they're saying that there's 100,000 students playing chess on a regular basis in competitions, in school competitions, which surprised me.
Well, surprised me. I mean, I've done a bit of research. I've got some unusual things to talk about that I've researched. And but I also started I joined chess.com, and you can play these games. And I really like them because you play people from all around the world and you play on a clock. And the clock is basically 20 minutes, 10 minutes each. So what happens is the game starts and say you're white, the clock starts ticking for you, but as soon as you've played your shot, the clock starts ticking for the other person and yours stops, et cetera, et cetera. So if you don't finish the – if either of you lose time, usually –
So it's possible the game wouldn't finish?
Yeah, but you'd win if you're
– if you've got the most points.
Yeah.
Now, that interests me. I didn't realise that there is a rating system, the ELO rating system. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't, but I've heard of, like, Grandmasters. Yeah, tell me a bit about this.
Well, I was looking it up thinking, well, I'd heard of Grandmasters, and I thought, well, what? There are these different levels in chess. And obviously I was thinking, well, what is the history of chess? So apparently there's a bit of controversy, but it seems to be that chess was invented or first sort of around in North India, way back in the 8th century, and some information said maybe the 6th century. It certainly seems to be an Asiatic game, but a lot of the history was India and then Persia, China, and then obviously it moved into Europe. 1886 was the first official world championship, yep. And a guy called Wilhelm Steinitz was the first world champion. But the Americans came up with a rating system. A guy who was a professor who was into chess, he was not a bad chess player, but not one of the best. And it was a system based on the moves and your time, a whole range of factors involved. Now, they now use that system to rank the best players. And the current world champion and grandmaster is Magnus Carlsen. And he has the highest ELO rating ever of 2,882, which he set in 2014. And so that's in one game. But interestingly, there is we know grandmasters are the top, but there's all these different levels. And as you get a particular ELO rating, you can move up that ranking list.
I think that ELO rating is what they have on chess.com because just to put this in perspective, mine's about 630.
Well, there you go. So you're probably, and I looked, and I haven't got them written down, but it went like grandmaster, obviously, and then right down to, I guess I would be even lower because I don't play chess, but and it did have the scores next to it, what you had to be, what scores you had achieved, and that would be your ranking.
And then when you, like, if you lost a game, it would go down a bit. If you won a game, it would go up. And if you won well, it would go up by, like, quite a bit.
That's right. It's also, so the ranking is based on your moves and how, what type of moves you make and how quickly you can win games, et cetera. So I thought very interesting. So at least that means that you can compare because, again, you think people are playing chess or variations of chess all around the world.
Well, when I started playing on the computer, I've played 50-odd games, but when I started, I was, you know, obviously 300 or 400 or something, and I was playing other people of about the same ilk, and I was winning most of my games. Now that I'm in my 600th and I'm playing people in their 600s and 700s, I'm struggling. I am winning maybe about 30-40% of my games, but it's tough, and I think that's where that rating system comes into play.
Obviously, and as you say, as you move up, you're going to get people who have been playing for longer. But, you know, the Queen's Gambit, if you, obviously, I'm not a chess person and have no real interest in chess, but I thought that's an interesting title. But, of course, that is a strategy used in chess. And then even yesterday, looking at different, there's the King's Gambit, there's all these different strategies that people will play with. And it was quite interesting reading through some of them in terms of what that type of, how that sort of game would work out. Should you open with that? What should you use? How can you counter it? So that's that real sort of strategy involved in, and you said there's your grandfather and his brother walking down the street playing those games. It's that whole thinking process, isn't it, where you've got to be, we talk about, you know, that one step ahead or one move ahead. We often use that in life, don't we? And that's obviously from chess.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot as I go. I'm only a beginner, really. I mean, no, I'm slightly better than a beginner because I beat all the beginners. But I'm probably, out of 1 to 10 or 10 being a grandmaster and 1 being a beginner, I'm probably like 3 or 4, you know. So, and each one you go up, it's going to be harder and harder and harder, obviously. But it's a great game, so many moves. But let me tell you a little bit of the research I found.
So you said that your grandfather was a state champion?
Well, yeah, I've been trying to find that. Now, I did find where he was in a in the final and best of three, and he the first two were tied or draw or whatever, and he lost the third one. So he lost that particular state title. But I saw where – because chess is played in different aspects. He was in the state team, I think, 1949, And what they did is the team went to the Mail, like the Sunday Mail, but it was called the Mail back then. And the Western Australian team went to their newspaper, and they did it via the telegram or the whatever they used back then. And they made all their moves like that. Wow. And then there was there's another one where a grandmaster from overseas comes and he sets up tables with 20 players, and he goes one after the other playing them. And I've noticed usually those grandmasters beat everyone except they might have, out of 20 people, might have two or three draws. I noticed my grandfather quite often got the draw, so I suppose that speaks highly. And there was another chess by correspondence where people around Australia would play each other by correspondence, sending each other letters with certain moves. And
that would be a very slow game.
It was. It would go over 6 months, but he actually won that. So I suppose that's where...
Different world, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Imagine people doing that today, like a six-month game of chess.
Unbelievable. But just some of the stuff I've seen in there, look, in 1882, they played the first living chess game in the Southern Hemisphere, played at the LA Town Hall.
Living chess game.
Yeah, where people would actually be the chess pieces.
I hope that took... More, less than 6 months.
It did. But interesting, the two players, one was John Mann and the other was Charles Todd, you know, from the Overland Telegraph.
Yeah.
So he was one of the players. I also found in the Bunyip there was a living chess game played in Gawler in 1886. Mr. Wilson.
Same year of the first world championship.
Yeah, Mr. Wilson and Major Plummer were the two players. But here's one for you. There was a very macabre one that I found. Chessmen of Human Bones.
Chessmen of Human Bones.
Yeah, this guy, Herb Redwaite, who I think was German, he was very keen on chess. And he bequeathed his bones after his death to be made into chess pieces by a Parisian chessman maker. And basically they wanted someone making an unusual stir in the chess world to be presented with this as a prize. The winner was a prima donna, Antoinette Trebelli from
so Paris. He had his bones, like carved, they used his bones and carved out all the pieces.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But along those types of that similar type, also in that living chess from 1882, there's a photograph at the town hall, magnificent photo. Secret Scotland, a show that I like to watch on Channel 10, I think, but they were in the Isle of Lewis and they were talking about that they have chessmen that were discovered there. They were made in the 12th century, and they're in the London Museum, most of the pieces, 93 pieces, magnificent-looking pieces. So that goes back to the 12th century. Unbelievable.
Yes.
And even the first printed book was by this particular gentleman who also wrote the second book printed, which was The Game and Playee of the Chess. Back in the 16th century. So chess gets quite a reputation in history for, you know, a variety of different things.
Well, it does. And so I did a little bit of research, and obviously it was a game that was played by royalty, like kings and queens right across the world.
Queen Victoria played?
Yeah, and obviously when, as it moved, as people, you know, I think – especially if you think of the European movement from one place to another, and Persia, of course, was a huge empire, wasn't it? China itself. And so obviously as these places and people moved around and looked for new resources, et cetera, and conquered new lands, they took the game with them.
Napoleon Bonaparte played chess as well, although it was reputed that he wasn't that good. But there is a couple
But no one was prepared to lose.
No, there was a couple of them. There's a couple of historic games because they give the board numbers and letters. So I think across the bottom it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then along the side it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So when you hear them say, you know, knight's pawn to, you know, G3 or whatever, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, okay. So it's a bit like a map with your coordinates on a map.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm only just starting in all this, but...
Well, let's talk again about chess when you're a grandmaster.
Well, my grandmother, who taught me the game, she died in 2007. She was 102. I reckon I'll have to be
You might have a chance.
I might be that age when I become one.
Well, just to finish off, the currently best Australian chess player is a guy called Anton Smirnoff. He's only 20 years old.
Wow.
And he is highly ranked, and he's been this chess prodigy. He was playing grandmasters when he was 13.
Wow.
So there you go. So he's got a bit of time up his sleeve, a bit more time than you.
Yeah, a lot more. Anyway, so it's another Carlin Load Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.